Ever wonder how those school districts, the ones that are like the backbone of our towns and cities, you know how they actually manage all their money?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating stuff
It
when
is.
you think about it, all the public funds that go into education.
It's a whole world.
It is
Yeah.
a whole intricate process.
And speaking of getting into the nitty-gritty of school district finances,
Yeah.
the best way to peek behind the curtain is through their audit reports, right?
Absolutely.
Those yearly checkups.
They lay it all out, the numbers, the details.
Financial snapshot.
Exactly.
So that's what we're diving into today.
Love it.
You've provided us with a whole stack of audit reports from McLeod Public Schools in Oklahoma,
Oh, yeah, McClack.
covering a pretty significant chunk of time from 2012 all the way to 2024.
Wow, over a decade.
Yeah, so we're going on a journey through these documents to really extract the key insights.
The juicy bit.
Yeah, trying to understand how the district is structured financially, how they do their accounting, and really any noteworthy trends or specific details that these audits reveal.
So it's like we're going to decode the financial DNA of McLeod Public Schools.
Exactly. And without getting lost in all the technical jargon,
Right. We want to make it clear, understandable, like you're having a conversation about it.
like we're sitting down with the folks who manage the money and they're just explaining it to us in plain English.
Exactly.
And for our listeners, those who are all about efficient learning and seeing the big picture, this deep dive is your shortcut.
Cutting to the chase.
Yeah. We're going to zero in on those aha moments, the key takeaways, and present them in a way that's structured, memorable, and hopefully even a little entertaining.
Make it fun.
So let's jump right in. One of the first things that pops up in these audit reports is the term funds.
Oh, yeah, fund.
What exactly is a fund in the context of school district accounting?
Okay, so in governmental accounting, which is what we're dealing with here, a fund is basically like a separate little bucket of money.
A bucket.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's a distinct accounting entity with its own set of assets, liabilities, and equity. And it has to balance all on its own.
So, like different bank accounts for different purposes,
Exactly.
each with its own ledger.
And they got to keep each one balanced.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So, organization is key.
Absolutely.
Now, the reports also mention account groups. How do those fit into the picture?
Okay, so an account group, it's not really a fund in the same way. Think of it more like a way to organize and track certain assets and liabilities that don't directly impact the district's immediate spending money.
So it's like a separate list of the big ticket items.
Exactly. Things like long-term debt or the total value of all the school buildings.
So like if you're running a household budget, the account group would be for the mortgage and the value of your house, not for your weekly grocery money.
Perfect analogy.
Okay, now I see the reports mention three main categories of funds: governmental, proprietary, and fiduciary. Can you break those down for us with some real-world school examples?
Sure. So governmental funds are the ones used for like the core functions of the district. Things funded by taxes and state aid, like teacher salaries, classroom supplies, textbooks, that sort of thing.
The essentials.
Yeah, now proprietary funds, those are more like business type activities within the school system. Imagine the school runs a before and after school care program and charges parents' fees to cover the costs.
Oh, okay.
That would likely be handled through a proprietary fund.
Yeah.
It's like a self-supporting operation within the public school system.
Gotcha. Makes sense. And what about fiduciary funds?
Fiduciary funds are used when the school district is holding money that belongs to someone else. Like imagine the student council raising money for a field trip.
Okay.
The school would hold those funds in a fiduciary capacity until they're used for the trip.
So the school is like the responsible guardian of that money.
Exactly. They're just holding it for a specific
Right.
purpose.
Makes sense now. From what I've seen in these McLeod audit reports, it seems like they're primarily focused on the governmental fund types, right?
Yeah, that's right. The excerpts you shared really highlight how McLeod accounts for its core educational services, the stuff that falls under those governmental funds.
Okay, and within those governmental funds, they mentioned something called support services expenditures. What kind of expenses are we talking about there?
Support services expenditures are the costs associated with all the behind-the-scenes work that makes the educational process run smoothly. Things like salaries for administrative staff in the district office, guidance counselors who support students' costs for maintaining the school's technology infrastructure, even the upkeep of the school buildings themselves.
So it's all the essential support structure that allows teaching and learning to happen.
Precisely.
Makes sense. Now let's talk about how these financial statements are actually prepared. The reports mention a regulatory basis of accounting that's required by the Oklahoma State Department of Education. What does that mean in practice?
Okay, this is where it gets a bit interesting. McLeod isn't necessarily using the standard accounting rules that most organizations follow. You know, those generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP.
GAAP.
Right. Instead, they're using a specific set of rules and guidelines, this regulatory basis that the state of Oklahoma mandates specifically for its school districts.
So like a customized accounting system for Oklahoma schools.
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
Okay. And how does that differ from GAAP?
One key difference is in when they record their revenues and expenditures under this regulatory basis, it's primarily when cash actually changes hands.
Cash in, cash out.
With some adjustment based on state rules, for example. If the school board approves a purchase, even if the money hasn't been paid yet, they might record that as an expenditure right away.
Oh, interesting. So like a preemptive expenditure.
Yeah, it's called an encumbrance. It's like earmarking the funds, even though they haven't technically been spent yet.
Okay. And I noticed the auditors had some thoughts about this difference from GAAP.
Yeah, they weren't exactly thrilled about it in a few years. Specifically, 2014, 2022, and 2024, the auditors issued what's called an adverse opinion on the presentation of the financial statements because of this deviation from GAAP.
An adverse opinion sounds serious.
It basically means that in their professional judgment, the financial statements aren't presented fairly according to those widely accepted accounting principles. It could make it difficult for someone who's not familiar with Oklahoma's specific rules to really understand McLeod's financial situation.
So it's like trying to compare apples and oranges.
Yeah, it highlights the importance of understanding the specific accounting rules in play when you're looking at any financial report, especially governmental ones.
Good point. And they also issued qualified opinions in some years because McLeod didn't include something called the General Fixed Asset Account Group.
Right. A qualified opinion means that except for a particular issue, the financial statements seem okay. But in this case, the missing General Fixed Asset Account Group, which as we talked about earlier, tracks those big long-term assets like buildings, means the picture is incomplete even under the state's rules.
So it's like having a map with a big blank spot right where the school should be.
Exactly.
Not ideal. Let's move on to the different types of governmental funds. The reports highlight a few key ones, starting with the general fund. What's that all about?
The general fund is the big one, the primary operating fund for McLeod Public Schools. It's where they track most of the day-to-day revenues like state funding, local taxes, and expenditures for those core educational programs.
So like the checking account for the school's main activities.
Yeah. And one important thing to note is that any state funds that are specifically earmarked for certain programs, they're accounted for here. And if there are any unspent funds allocated for those specific programs at the end of the year, they have to be carried forward and used for those same programs the next year.
Okay, so like if money is designated for a reading intervention program, it can't be used to buy new band uniforms.
Exactly. It ensures that those funds are used as intended for their specific educational purpose.
Gotcha. Accountability is key. Then there's the special revenue fund. What's that one for?
The Special Revenue Fund is for revenue sources that are legally restricted or specifically designated for particular purposes.
Mm-hmm.
McLeod uses this fund for a few key things, including their building fund, their co-op fund, and their child nutrition fund.
Let's unpack those, starting with the building fund. That one seems pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, the building fund is primarily funded by local property taxes. And the money's used for a whole range of capital projects and maintenance activities related to school facilities. Things like constructing and repairing buildings, buying equipment like computers and desks, paying for energy and utility costs, even the salaries of security personnel.
So it's all about keeping the physical infrastructure of the school running.
Exactly.
Now, what about the co-op fund? The reports mention that McLeod didn't maintain this fund in some years. What's that all about?
The co-op fund is used when multiple school districts team up to offer a joint program or service. Maybe they share a special education teacher or run a joint vocational program. The funding can come from different sources, including contributions from each of the participating districts. And that money is then used to cover the costs of operating that shared program.
So it's like a joint venture between districts.
Yeah. And the fact that McLeod didn't maintain this fund in some years probably means they weren't actively participating in any cooperative agreements during those times.
Makes sense. And the last one under special revenue is the Child Nutrition Fund. I think we can guess what that's for.
Yeah, that was pretty straightforward. It covers all the financial activities related to school breakfast and lunch programs. They receive funding from federal and state sources to help provide those meals to students.
Okay, so we've got the general fund, the special revenue fund. Now, what about the debt service fund?
The debt service fund is specifically for managing the district's long-term debts. like paying back the principal and interest on bonds they've issued. It's like a dedicated savings account for paying off loans.
So it's all about keeping those long-term financial obligations in check.
Exactly.
Now, the reports also mention other outlays as expenditures. That sounds like a bit of a miscellaneous category.
It is. It includes expenditures that aren't part of those regular day-to-day operating costs, but still need to be accounted for, things like those debt service payments we just talked about. Any scholarships or student aid that the district processes staff awards, and the costs of any self-funded employee benefits that the district might offer.
So it's like the catch-all drawer for those financial odds and ends.
Yeah, you could think of it that way.
Now, what about when money moves between these different funds within the district? I saw the term interfund transactions. What are those?
Interfund transactions are simply the financial activities that happen between the different funds we've been discussing.
Uh-huh.
Like one fund might pay for something on behalf of another and then get reimbursed.
Oh, okay.
Or there might be transfers of resources between funds to cover specific costs. The reports mention that McLeod didn't report any operating transfers, which are the routine movements of funds between different categories, in 2014-15 and 2018-19, which is interesting.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah. It's something to note.
Okay. So it's not just about money coming in and out of the district, but also about how they allocate and move funds around internally.
Exactly. It's all about managing those resources effectively.
Now, another important aspect is budgeting. What's the district's approach to creating and managing its budget?
McLeod is required to have formal budgets in place for all those funds we talked about, except for the trust and agency funds, like those student activity accounts. The budgets lay out how they plan to spend the money they have, and they also have to document any changes they make to those plans throughout the year. It's a crucial part of maintaining financial control and ensuring accountability for how they use public funds.
So it's like a roadmap for their spending.
Exactly. And they have to stick to it as much as possible.
Makes sense. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about assets and liabilities. What are some of the key things mentioned in the reports?
Okay, so on the asset side, the main things you'll see discussed are cash on hand and investments. Those investments are usually recorded at their original cost and can include things like government bonds or certificates of deposit, KB. The reports also mention inventories, which might be things like supplies in a warehouse, but they're generally considered not very valuable.
Okay.
On the liability side, there's warrants payable, which are essentially checks that the district has written but haven't been cashed yet. And of course, as we discussed earlier, there's the issue of the general fixed asset account group not being included in their financial statements under the regulatory basis.
Right, that missing piece of the puzzle.
Exactly.
So that's what the district owns and owes. What about fund balance? How is that defined, and are there different categories of it?
Fund balance is basically the amount of money in a governmental fund that's not already committed or obligated in some way. There's a hierarchy for classifying fund balance based on how restricted the use of those funds is. Some amounts are considered non-spendable, meaning they legally or contractually can't be spent. And then there are different categories of spendable funds with varying levels of restrictions on how they can be used.
So it's like having different levels of access to your savings. Some are locked away for emergencies while others are more readily available.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Okay, now the reports briefly mention funds held for school organizations. What are those all about?
Those are agency funds, which we touched on earlier. They're used when the district is holding money on behalf of various student groups and clubs, like sports teams, cheerleading squads, academic clubs, things like that. The combining statement of changes in assets and liabilities from 2020 and 2021 actually gives some specific examples, like the football booster club, the basketball team, the drama club, all sorts of groups.
So it's like the district is running a bunch of separate bank accounts for all the school's extracurricular activities.
Exactly. They're acting as the custodian of those funds, keeping track of the money that those groups raise and spend.
Okay. Now let's talk about something that's relevant to a lot of people who work in schools, the retirement system. What do these reports tell us about McLeod's involvement in the state retirement system?
McLeod participates in the Oklahoma Teachers Retirement Plan, or PRS. It's a big state-administered retirement system that many school districts in Oklahoma are part of. It's a cost-sharing, multiple employer-defined benefit system, which basically means that contributions come from the district, the state, and the employees themselves.
That's a shared responsibility.
Exactly. And the amount that each party contributes is set by state law. It's not calculated based on McLeod's specific financial situation.
Interesting. Now, does this mean the retirement system as a whole is doing okay financially?
Well, the reports do mention that the system overall has an underfunded pension benefit obligation.
Underfunded, that doesn't sound good.
No, it means they don't have enough money in the system right now to cover all the future pension payments they've promised to retirees.
Yes.
And while McLeod doesn't have to disclose its specific portion of this underfunding on their main financial statements, because of that regulatory accounting basis, they did mention it in the notes to the financial statements back in 2015 and 2016. So that's something to keep an eye on.
So it's like a looming cloud on the horizon.
Yeah. It highlights the long-term financial challenges facing many pension systems across the country.
Now, speaking of long-term financial commitments, let's talk about the district's debt. What kind of long-term debt has McLeod taken on?
Okay, so they have a separate account group called the General Long-Term Debt Account Group,
right,
where they track all these obligations. The reports include schedules that show how much they have to pay in principal and interest on their debt each year. They mention bonds payable and capital leases as the main types of debt.
Okay.
And one notable example is the 2018 ground lease agreement they entered into with the Pottawatomie County Educational Facilities Authority to build a new intermediate school.
A whole new school. Wow.
Yeah, it's a big project. The authority issued revenue bonds to finance the construction. And then McLeod essentially leases the building from the authority with the plan to eventually cover those lease payments by issuing their own building bonds.
So it's like a roundabout way of financing the construction.
It is, but it's a fairly common method for school districts to fund these large capital projects.
Makes sense. And they've also issued building bonds directly, right?
Yeah. The reports give details on a couple of bond issues they did in 2022 and 2023, for example.
Yeah.
The building bond series 2022 were for $1,620,000 at an interest rate of 3.15%. And those were due in June of 2024. And then there were the building bond series 2023 for $850,000 at a higher interest rate of 5.85%. And those are due in July of 2025.
So they're actively using bonds to fund their capital needs.
It seems that way.
Now, another big piece of the funding puzzle for many schools is federal money. How are those federal awards accounted for in these reports? And are there specific rules they have to follow?
Definitely. McLeod receives revenue from various federal grant programs and entitlements, some directly from the feds and some passed through the State Department of Education. These funds are often designated for specific programs like Title I for supporting disadvantaged students, and they usually track those funds through their general fund.
Okay.
Some years, the reports include a really detailed schedule of expenditures of federal awards, listing out every federal grant program and how much they spent from each one. And they also have to report any non-cash federal assistance they receive, like commodities, for their school meal programs.
So if they get a shipment of USDA cheese for the cafeteria, they have to account for that.
Yeah, it all has to be tracked and reported.
And are the auditors also making sure these federal funds are being used properly?
I mean, absolutely. Those federal dollars come with a lot of strings attached. The auditors have to provide separate reports on McLeod's internal controls for managing those funds and their compliance with all the federal regulations.
So they're checking if the district is dotting its I's and crossing its...
Exactly. And while they don't always give an overall opinion on how effective the internal controls are, they do point out any specific weaknesses they find. For example, in 2019, they recommended that McLeod improve its process for verifying income information on applications for free and reduced price lunches.
So making sure the right students are getting those benefits.
Right. And in some years, the auditors issued unqualified opinions on McLeod's compliance with major federal programs like Title I Impact Aid Education Stabilization Fund and Child Nutrition, which means they were generally following the rules for those programs.
Okay, so a good sign, but still some areas for improvement.
Always.
Now, shifting gears a bit, the reports also discuss risk management and contingencies. What kinds of risks are we talking about here?
Well, like any organization, McLeod is exposed to various risks that could result in financial losses. Things like lawsuits, theft damage to property errors in financial reporting, employee injuries, even natural disasters.
So a whole range of potential problems.
Yeah. And to protect themselves, they carry commercial insurance policies. The reports also mention that any money they receive from grant agencies is subject to audit and potential adjustments, though they generally don't expect any major liabilities from disallowed claims.
So they're covering their bases as much as possible.
Trying to be proactive.
And finally, the 2022 report included a schedule of surety bonds. What are those all about?
Surety bonds are essentially a type of insurance that protects the district from potential financial losses caused by certain employees in key positions, those who handle a lot of money.
So it's like a safety net in case someone goes rogue.
You could say that the schedule lists specific positions like the superintendent, the treasurer, the person who manages the student activity funds and the folks who handle the spending commitments and official minutes, and it shows which bonding company is providing coverage and how much each position is covered for.
So it's another layer of financial accountability.
Exactly.
Wow, we've really gone deep into the financial weeds of McLeod Public Schools, haven't we?
We have covered a lot of ground.
Let's try to pull it all together and summarize some of the key takeaways.
Okay, so big picture, we've seen that McLeod operates under this specific regulatory basis of accounting that's different from GAAP. We explored all the different types of governmental funds they use to manage their money. State funding is clearly a crucial part of their financial picture, and they've got those ongoing obligations to the state retirement system and their own long-term debt from bonds and leases. They also receive and manage a bunch of federal funds with all those accompanying rules and regulations, and they use risk management tools like insurance and surety bonds to protect themselves from potential financial trouble.
And one thing that really stood out to me was their consistent use of that regulatory basis of accounting, even though the auditors kept flagging those differences from GAAP. It makes you wonder how that impacts transparency and whether it makes it harder for people like parents and taxpayers to really understand how McLeod is doing financially compared to districts in other states.
That's a valid concern. Using a different set of accounting rules can definitely make it harder to compare apples to apples, especially across state lines.
And looking ahead with those long-term debt obligations and all those investments in capital projects like that new intermediate school, what do you think their financial priorities might be in the coming years?
Well, that's a great question for further analysis. These audit reports give us a really valuable historical perspective, but they also lay the groundwork for understanding the district's future financial planning.
So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate those challenges.
Definitely.
Well, for our listeners, I hope this deep dive has given you a better understanding of just how complex managing public school finances can be. It's not just about adding and subtracting. It's a whole web of funds, regulations, and strategic decision making.
And it ultimately impacts the quality of education that students receive.
Absolutely. And we encourage you to check out the financial reports for school districts in your own communities. It's a fascinating way to connect the dots between those budget numbers and the realities of education in your backyard.
And remember, these audit reports, they might seem dry and technical, but they tell a story about how our public resources are being managed and what the priorities of an educational institution really are. It's an invitation to look beyond the numbers and think critically about how our schools are funded and what that means for our communities.
Food for thought indeed. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time.
Take care.